Would you come to be pleased to the passage today in God's Word? Psalm 34. As the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 8. Psalm 34 and at verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. There are times when people tell us to try out something. Try it out. See for yourself. Then you'll know what it's really like. We know there are certainly many things that until we really have experienced them, we don't know what it's like. We can be given a description by others of what it's like to go on a roller coaster, to go on a spaceship. Well, people will tell us what the feeling would be like. Exhilaration, perhaps the fear, the pressure in the body. But what's it really like? Only those who have done it know what it's like. And we can only vaguely grasp unless we've experienced it. How do you describe the sweetness of honey to someone who's never tasted honey? How would you describe the heat of a curry to someone who's never eaten one? Very difficult. How do you describe colours to someone who's never seen, who's blind? What a difference when they eat, when they see, when they experience these things. And that's what the psalmist is telling us here. Just as you and I, at times, have been coaxed to eat something that, well, it looked a bit strange. But then fancy it, we've eaten it, and we've been surprised. It was actually quite nice. So, here we're encouraged to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The psalmist is saying, look, trust God. That's one thing you sing in this psalm. You'll never know his blessing. You'll never experience what it means to trust him. You won't really realize what those who trust him know until you do so for yourself. He's saying, look, I have trusted in him. I've experienced his goodness. I've been blessed by him. Trust him. And you too will know his blessing. Now the context is surely that of a believer who's been tried. David amongst the Philistines, running away from Saul, anxious about for his life. He's trying to protect himself. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. Although, had he sought guidance from God, he may never have been down there in the first place. And he would have had to pretend he was mad in order to somehow get himself out of a situation where he seemed captured. And in the midst of his trials, he is learning to trust God, sometimes more successfully than others. And as he reflects on these things, well, he's surely telling us, yes, the man who trusts in him is blessed. And the more he has learned to trust in the Lord, especially in those trials, the more he has known of his peace and blessing. Yes, the Lord will be with all those who are his. He will protect them. He will preserve them. His angel is one who encamps round about his people. In other words, just as an army would be perhaps around a leader to keep him safe. So the Lord's armies are around his people, or the Lord is around his people to keep them safe. Just as the Lord will preserve his people when they're tried, oh, that I would trust him more. And I would know more of his blessing and be kept from these silly situations that he got himself into down amongst the Philistines. And again, speak of how God is with his people in trials. Trust him. When you're tried, trust him, he's saying. Lay hold of his promises. Don't let them go. He promises to be with and to keep his people. And I have seen that God is good despite all these trials. Yes, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Well, there's advice to the believer when he's in trouble. But is this not also advice which speaks to those who as yet have no living faith in Christ? You here tonight? You have to confess, well, I know I'm not a true believer. I know I'm not converted. I know that although I've been brought up within the church and I attend church yet, Christ isn't mine. At least, I know the difference between me and those who are the Lord's people, and their love for him, and their zeal for him. Well, what would they say to you? Would they not say, as the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. There's the problem. You have failed to trust him. You have failed to taste and to see that he is good. Here then is advice for you tonight. Listen to that advice. Firstly, are you conscious at times of guilt before God? Well, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all those who trust in him. Isn't it true of all sin? That's what Scripture tells us. Of all sin that comes short of the glory of God, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And there's times when your conscience agrees with that. When you're convicted, when you become aware of the fact of your guilt before God. There are times especially when that may make you fearful. When you perhaps think of the future. You think of the reality of death. Perhaps you're in a dangerous situation. And at such times you're led to think, what was to become of me if I was to be called before my Maker tonight to give an account for all that I have done? Because you know that God's word declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And at such times, you become anxious. Your guilt leads to anxiety. You're aware that the wages you deserve for your sin is death. And the question arises, how will I fare in meeting the judge? Anything to encourage you. You're frightened by such a prospect. And yet, tonight you're without Christ. What's happened? Well, it may be that you have tried different ways of dealing with that guilt. For some, they ignore the problem. Is that what you do? Let's change the subject. Let's ignore the problem. You're a bit like the woman of Samaria, who, as the Lord was dealing with her, challenging her about her sin, What does she do? She changes the subject. Christ knows all about her. Yes. I know that you've had plenty of husbands, and the man you've got just now isn't your husband. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Here I've got a religious question, a biblical question. I want you to answer it for me. A sidestep of the issues. Is that what you do? You try and just avoid the issue. You immerse your thoughts in other things. Friends, is that not foolish? It gives you some temporary relief. But the trouble doesn't go away. Like someone who's got a serious illness, and the symptoms are showing at least at times, and you're just living in denial. You will go to the doctor, you won't do anything about it, you hope it will go away. Of course it doesn't, it gets worse. And friend, that will happen to you. But that's certainly not the advice Scripture gives you. There's others perhaps you find reform your life. But again, what's the problem? You only get so far. You reform aspects of your life. But sin is a powerful force in your life. And it doesn't last. And anyway, even if you're changed from what you were, how does that make up for past sin? Even if you're like someone who, though they're no longer going to the bank asking for an increase in their overdraft to increase their debt, the debt's still there and it's still got to be repaid. And that's a problem. Problem's not solved. Perhaps it is that you hope to atone for your works. And you try and be as good a person and kind a person and helpful a neighbour, as good a father, as good as mother or grandmother or grandfather as possible. Yet isn't the truth? You never have any assurance that everything's okay. That when you're weighed in the balances, you will not be found wanting. Have I done enough? You see, that's the problem with a works religion, with a ritualistic religion. It can never give peace. You can never be sure if you have done enough. Of course, there's a greater problem. God gives you no warning to expect. And you can deal with sin that way. Indeed, what does he tell you? All the righteousnesses that you do, the best things you do, and your religious works that you do, but as filthy rags before. Oh, friends, what do you need to do? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What is that way to peace? What is that way of dealing with guilt? Is it not to embrace God's provision and the gospel for sinners? What has God done? He has revealed himself as a just God and a Savior. He has revealed himself as one who is the Lord, merciful and gracious, but yet at the same time, who will in no wise acquit the guilty. A good God, a loving God, a gracious God. And yet a just God who cannot tolerate sin. When you find his justice and his mercy meeting together and embracing where? On the cross of Jesus Christ. Because there is Christ. And he is there by the appointment of the Father. He has sent him into the world to deal with sin. And there he is bearing the sin of men. There God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There he is dealing with sin so that sin need not be counted. As it deserves to be counted against the sinner. as Christ bears the sin of his people. There is God offering salvation to sinners. We plead with you in the name of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Is that what the psalmist is saying? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is the just God and our Savior who has given in Jesus, who is given in his Son, that just way of dealing with sin. God's people tonight, they can joy in gladness. They've seen the Lord is good. They've experienced the forgiveness of sins. They've felt in their souls something of the rottenness of their own guilty sins before God. They have hated those sins. And seeing how outrageous they were, they have been crushed by these things. But they found a way of dealing with that guilt. God's way in Jesus Christ. And they have joy and gladness. And so what did they say to you? There you are. Running away and hiding. Whenever you think of guilt, let's get rid of it as quickly as we can. Well, let's find a way of dealing with it. Which doesn't work. Friend, you hear of God's grace. And you wonder, can it save? Or else, you hear of God's grace. And you know that it does give peace in your sin. But can it give peace to me? What do you need to do? Simply this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You must seek him. You must plead for him. You must rely upon him. The one who is our refuge from the storm. How often, when the wind's been blowing a gale, have you found yourself going to the side of the building in the lee of the wind? You get shelter there. What will give you shelter from the storm of God's wrath? Being in the lee side of Christ, hidden in him. That refuge from the storm. Friend, you must trust him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There's no point being told, honey is sweet. It will do you good. And seeing and hearing something of the attractiveness of these things, it's only as you taste, it's only as you trust that you shall be blessed. Beware of being able to say, yes, I know Christ is a Savior, the only Savior. He actually deals with sin. Stopping there. Like someone who can describe how wonderful a thing is. And yet they've never actually experienced it personally themselves. Talking about the thrill of being a roller coaster or a spaceship. I'm sure none of us have been in a spaceship. Might imagine what it would be like. Hear the accounts of others. You've got to have been there to know what it's like. Friend, you need to taste. You need to trust in the Lord. Here's advice for a guilty soul. But can we also say here's advice for a tempted soul? Isn't sin an ongoing problem in all our lives? Temptations arise every day. Well, you feel in the guilt of sin. You know the need to turn from sin, but it's so difficult to turn from sin. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're longing that the power of sin would be broken in your life. You really want to be done with it. You want to please God. You want to do his will. You want to keep his commandments. You want to be holy. You find discipline yourself. You watch what you see and watch what you do. You avoid going to certain places. You are under God's word, which is a means of grace to help and to teach us and direct us and to keep us in the right way. And the problem is your reformation doesn't work and last. What do you need to do? Look to the Lord. You're trusting in yourself. You're forgetting Christ came to deal with sin. And you need to taste and see that He is good. There are some who, when they hear the gospel and, yes, are bound to agree with the gospel and feel the need of Christ, end up saying, well, because I could never live the life of a Christian, do I see some people living? I look at the Lord's people. Oh, I could never be like them. My repentance will not last. And they just despair. What are you forgetting? You're forgetting God's promise. You're forgetting the promises of God that to the one who turns from sin, He will help them. In Isaiah 14, you're given a prayer if you're a penitent soul. A prayer which says, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, so shall we render the calves of our lips, that is, render praise. Asher will not save us, a false god. Neither will we say to the work of our hands, ye are gods. We'll abandon idolatry. We're turning from sin. The Lord comes. And He says, I will heal their backslidings. They can't do it themselves. But I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for I have pardoned all their sins. You see, Christ in the gospel promises not only the forgiveness of sins, but the grace and strength to deal with the power of sin. He heals the backslidings of His people. He gives help to the tempted. Then what do you need to do then? Trust Him. Is He not the one who died to break the power of sin, as well as to deliver from the guilt of sin? Go to Him. The only way that works. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So long as you merely think of these things, you'll be left languishing in your sin, sin's grip upon you, struggling, never getting anywhere, because you're not taking Him into His word, relying on Him completely, abandoning all confidence in what you can do or anyone can do for you. Christ and Him alone. Make Him your only home. You must taste and see that the Lord is good, the God of salvation. Third thing, here's good advice for the afflicted, or the afflicted soul. Psalmist here was full of trials in his life. There's David, promised to be king, and for years he's been chased around, threatened with death. He's an outlaw. And yet God has said, one day you're going to be king. And He's actually been anointed as the king of Israel already. What's God doing? Why is He allowing these things? Well, David, no doubt, doesn't understand much of these things. And he knows he can't solve his problems. He had pride. He had pride doing doing some things his own way. He had gone down to the Philistines. He had had to pretend he was mad. He had managed to get himself out of the hole he was in. But the lesson truly for him was this. It wasn't David and his thoughts and plans about where he was to go for refuge that was going to keep him safe. It wasn't David pretending madness that was going to keep him safe. It was God alone who would help him. And so he's writing, trust in the Lord. There you are. Your life is full of problems because we all have trials and problems. And how we go on trying to solve all our problems. You get health problems. You trust in what you're able to find out about your health and how the doctor can help you and how you can look after yourself. God doesn't come into the picture. Problems in school. You want to solve your own problems. Or by your own studies, you're going to make success. Troubles come. You're going to sort them out yourself. But as it ends up, you're struggling if you can really cope. Can I cope? Well, the psalmist is telling us. The afflicted believer is still blessed. And he's saying, trust God. And if you trust God, you'll be blessed. You'll have no good thing. God will ultimately deliver his people. He'll watch over his people. And he's saying, look, God's people, yes, they still have problems. They have health problems. They have problems in their family. Problems in the workplace. But they can know God's blessing in the middle of it. They can know his help. You see, is not God good? God's people. Is God not good to them? He gives them grace to cope with the troubles and trials. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It wasn't removed. Some problem. But God was saying, I'll help you through it. I'll give you the patience and the grace to cope with it. God is good. Isn't this plan good? For those who love him, his plan is good. But he promises that all things work together for the good of his people. He's the God who does good to his children. He loves them. So friends, haven't you seen many believers live with problems? And you think, how could I cope? All those difficulties in life. And you end up at peace. They feel contentment. God is with them. God is helping them. God is delivering them. Even while the problems are still there. And they're rejoicing in the hope of a final deliverance from all the trials and troubles when death itself comes. Here's God, the one who helps and blesses those who are tried and afflicted. How often have you seen that? You've seen the testimony of God's people. And they would say to you, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He's never done me any harm. Did you meet people? You'll find that they'll say to you, the Lord has blessed me in this. And I wouldn't have been without it. Perhaps there's a marriage breakdown. It should never happen. The person never wanted it. But they can see how the Lord sustained them despite them by the breakdown. They've received blessing from the Lord in the middle of it. And they can see, well, there's a sense in which I wouldn't have been without this. It's done me good. Of course, I'm not saying I'm glad I'm now in the situation I'm in with the marriage over. That's not what they're saying. But they've trusted God
Tasted and seen that he was good. They've experienced his goodness in the midst of the trials of life. And are so thankful for God's faithfulness and goodness.
Then you're here tonight, perhaps, and you're struggling on through life. And at times it is a struggle. You need God, as we all need God. You need to trust in him, knowing that he's a God who can help his useless, unless he is the God who is going to help you. You must seek him and ask him for his help. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Trust in him. If you're struggling on your own, get to know him. Come to peace with him through Jesus Christ. And learn to entrust everything to him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And you'll find blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The only way of peace is through Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Peace from guilt. Peace in trying circumstances to be found in Jesus Christ. Fourth thing. This is not good advice for the happiness-seeking soul. You want happiness. You want life to be good. You want peace and contentment and happiness. You try and find it in many things. How many people say to you, well, if I won the lottery, oh, how happy I would be. And the papers, the television, how they seem to be always full of individuals or groups who have had big wins. As if it's the best day of their life and all what they're going to do and all the troubles are over. What nonsense. That's the way man tends to think. You want peace, you want happiness. You live for it, perhaps. You live for pleasures. You think that's giving you happiness. Yet isn't it true that none of these things work? A person with money isn't happy. All those pop stars and film stars and their lives tell you that's true. Isn't it strange how people don't believe it, though? That won't happen to me. That was them. But the truth is, riches are uncertain and they don't deal with the problems of the heart. You chase after pleasures. And yet one fix of the pleasures of this world leads to the desire for another fix of those pleasures. It's an addiction which is never satisfied. It doesn't give peace. It's just a putting off of all that is real and the serious issues of life by being absorbed and just amusing oneself to death. Heart, you see, is restless without God. And unless he's at the center of your life, you will never have peace. I know what the believers discovered. But after a long time, your life was absorbed with other things. You didn't have peace. And you tasted and saw that God was good. You came to embrace the gospel. You came to put God at the center of your life. You abandoned that chasing after the wind. To have God as your God. Peace with God. To have him with me always. That's worth more than anything else. Well, friend, you're here tonight. And really, you want peace and joy and happiness and contentment. Where will you find it? amongst the Lord's people. Why? Because they have tasted and seen that God is good. And if you would be truly, be lastingly blessed, you need God as your God and Christ as your Savior. Stop looking in the wrong places. Taste and see that He is good. The truth is, you know it's true. You don't want to admit it. Is that not foolish? You've seen others and the joy and the peace and the happiness they have. Surely you should stop. Surely you should taste and see that He is good. Trust Him. Go to Him. Ask Him to be your God. Take Christ as your Savior. And you shall find that happiness that will otherwise elude you. It brings us finally to this. There's not good advice for the dying soul. Here we are. Every breath we take is a breath nearer death. Every step we take is a step nearer the grave. One of these facts that's true, but we tend to ignore. Here's the great question. What is to become of you? Eternity beckons. Are you prepared to meet your God? Are you anxious with these things? Does it bother you? God's word warns you. You go on as you are, as you were born into this world, and you will find that a lost eternity awaits you. Is it not foolish to ignore these things? Is it not a danger of ignoring great peril? Isn't that the way to make shipwreck of your life? Just to steam ahead. Full steam ahead. Ah, but there's a danger. There's rocks in the way. There's an iceberg in the way. Full steam ahead. And you're ploughing on regardless. Now what happens when you do such a thing? Does the danger go away? The reef is still there, upon which you will flounder, or the iceberg that the ship will hit doesn't go away. The danger doesn't disappear because you ignore it being there. You need to change course. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know that you have an appointment with God, but it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Friend, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Who else is eternal life but Jesus Christ? Is He not the resurrection and the life? Is not His promise, He that believeth in Me, though he die yet, he shall live. He that believeth in Me shall never die. Oh, you hear these things often at a funeral. In My Father's house of many mansions. Is there one for you? Oh, how many just presume there will be. Or at least I hope there will be. Because so many ministers package everyone off to heaven, whether they have a right to give any ground for hope or not, you just delude yourself into hoping that one day things will work out okay for you. Friend, believe in God, believe in Me, in My Father's house of many mansions. You must taste and see that He is good. It is in Christ alone that the sinner is whole. It's in Christ alone to the dying person, not you and me, that they have hope. Stop looking elsewhere. Stop ignoring the problems. Realize that there's a dying sinner who is perishing. Friend, you need Christ. Do not ignore the problem. Do not be content with merely knowing that there is a remedy. Knowing there's a remedy never did anyone any good. Admiring medicine won't help you unless you need it. Friend, you need to be serious. You need to get on your knees alone with God and acknowledge your sin. And turn from it in repentance. And taste and see that the Lord is good. You say, but I'm a great sinner. How do I know if He'll accept me? Friend, has He not given you many encouragements? Has He not told you to taste and see? You turn to Him. And you trust in Him. And you'll find in trusting in Him, you'll experience His goodness and you'll know blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Let us pray.